Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me in the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG and MHS Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. With me today, I have a frequent guest on my many podcasts. I refer to him as my bespectacled Florida friend, the heavyweight champion of the world, a man who has brought back Star Wars discussion to an elite level. Someone who I think has one of the best podcasts on the Mile High Life Network. It is my friend,
Vic Lombardi.
it is Trey Mitchell. Hello, Trey.
Thanks. Thank you for the kind words. I just did a podcast about the Rocky franchise. I will spoil it for you because Jeff, my guest and I both did a draft. So with my very first pick, I took Rocky.
Yeah.
With my second pick, I took Rocky Balboa. With my third pick, I took Creed 3. With my fourth pick, I took Rocky 4. So I got I love Rocky Balboa. Rocky Balboa, Creed 3, and Rocky 4. And then my guest Tanner went Creed, Rocky 2, which I really wanted Rocky 2. I was slightly mad that I didn't get that, but it's okay. So he went Creed, Rocky 2, Creed 2, Rocky 3. So it's an interesting draft. And then there's no one drafted 5.
See, if I was just picking myself, mine would have been like Rocky, Rocky 3.
The Creed movies are amazing. You need to watch them again. It's at least Creed is one of the best movies of the 2010s.
At least
sports movies ever.
I try not to fall. I have a thing about recency bias, and I get really anti about it because I'm used to it from like Nuggets discussion, being everything being recent, and I'm really guarded against it. But I think that unfairly prejudices me against new movies in a franchise. So I you know, I'm starting to appreciate Halloween 2 in 2018 more now than I did back when I first saw it.
I love Halloween, the David Gordon Green one. Mm-hmm. I love Halloween Kills is bad. Halloween Ends is fun. That's my take.
And that's his.
And then first one's the best, but
that is David
Gordon. The Rocky Green. Movies. Nine movies. Only one bad movie. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, Rocky 5 is the worst.
Pretty incredible. Yeah. And I mean, if you basically just don't even count that, then there are no bad movies. So
yeah,
that's what I like to do.
That was right about, I think the Sylvester Stallone did that the same year he did Tango and Cash, I believe.
I have not seen many Sylvester Stallone movies besides Rocky. I've never seen the Rambo movies. I think I've seen Expendables. I think my dad had it on at some point, probably. The ultimate dad movie.
Have you seen Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
No. I think I saw his movie, what was it, Grudge Match? Him versus De Niro.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, there was Copland, which is a good movie. Mm. Copland is a, have you seen it?
No.
You haven't seen Copland? Oh my God.
I just told you, I haven't seen much of Sylvester Stallone besides like the Rocky movies and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, well. Now you need to see Copland. It's a good movie. It's anyway, we're not here to talk about.
Great. Last thing I'll say, he is great in the Creed movies. Like just as an actor, I cannot believe he did not win Best Supporting Actor in 2015. That was a tragedy.
Oh, and
end of rant.
You haven't seen Nighthawks either from 1980. Yeah,
Jeff, I'm 24 years old. There are an abundance of movies I have not seen from before I was born.
Yeah. Trey and I have this discussion multiple times a week.
Hey, I am reading Blood in the Garden about the 90s Knicks.
Okay, so can we?
Can
we talk a little about that? By the middle. Way,
of course.
You haven't finished it yet, but I mean,
No. I bought it like 2-3 days ago. So
yeah,
I'm 30-40 pages in.
I'm halfway through. That is I'm not halfway through. I'm three quarters of the way through, but it is a fascinating discussion about one of my favorite teams. So what we can link to here is both you and I have something in common, which is our love of the different eras of the New York Knicks, because
every era of the Knicks.
I love that team.
Yeah. I spent $15 on Amazon making a 6-foot by 4-foot tapestry of Tom Thibodeau that we hung at my old apartment during the 2021 season when he played Derrick Rose 90 minutes a night, only rivaled by that one Emmanuel Quickly game in Boston last week.
Yes.
Or I guess this week.
Forever. You know,
55 minutes.
Yes. Forever in the minds of New York Knicks fans, the Bing Bongs themselves, of loving an irrationally good performance from a mediocre player.
Emmanuel Quickly is like everything you could hope for in Bones Highland.
Right. He's a gunner. He's Tim Connolly's favorite kind of type of player.
But he's like pretty good on defense too. Like he's like, that's why Tibbs played him 58 minutes.
it's amazing. If you listen to the Mismatch Live Pod, they had Sean Fantasy on there and he was
talking
about going to the finals.
His mic drop about Chris Vernon watching that murder show, and he was like, was that about Ja Morant?
That was great. That was really good. So yeah, back to the Blood in the Garden. It's a great story about one of my favorite teams, and you learn a lot about Pat Riley in this.
That's where I'm on right now. It's a lot of the Pat Riley stuff. And like Winning Time came out last year. I enjoyed that, but I know Winning Time wasn't a historical accuracy too much. No. And like my girlfriend loved it. I liked it a lot, but like I knew some of the things that weren't accurate, but to her, like basketball is something that she's just gotten into like heavily because dating this psychopath. So she really liked it and we're excited for the next season, but I'm seeing here that the Knicks play the Kings tonight. That's gotten Trey Mitchell written all over it.
It does have Trey Mitchell.
Bing Bong meets the Bean. Oh my God.
It does have that all over it.
That's gotta be amazing.
I dropped my league pass and years ago because I just.
Oh, it's only $100 this year.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Cheapest it's ever been.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because back when I had bought it, it was like $200 and
it was like $280 or something.
It is insane and it's terrible. And it, I mean, what I always tell people about league passes, yeah, it's a good idea, but it's terrible in execution. And Brian Windhorst always talks about how he lives in Omaha, and for some reason he's in the Denver
blackouts,
the blackout zone, and he can't watch Nuggets
in, games. In freaking, so I just watched a video about like everything going on with RSNs in Iowa, or sorry, in Idaho. There's like a town that six baseball teams are blacked out in Idaho because they're within 100 miles of each of them. It's insane. My biggest issue with league passes, overall, I think it's actually a really good product now, but the worst thing about it is there's this one ad that plays. Mm-hmm. The first half of the season, it wouldn't play ads. It would just cut to the in-arena entertainment, which I loved. I loved everything until, you know, we get like the kiss cam five times a game or whatever.
Right.
But now it shows this like NBA ID commercial that plays like twice every commercial break. And it has this saying, it's like dang time. And it just has this loud music. And like a bunch of people on Twitter and I, we've all like been DMing League Pass support to get it banned. And so that's our current movement. But overall, like, I mean, I loved being able to watch every team but the Orlando Magic because they're blacked out for me and I just cut cable. So sad.
SOL there then, if you can't as well. Well, of course, when you move, you won't have that problem. If you want to
watch the Magic but not the Bulls.
You wouldn't watch the Bulls, you know.
I wouldn't want to watch the Bulls.
No.
Particularly last night.
No, they won last night, but it was a Nuggets didn't try game. So I was just thinking about this because, you know, we're kind of just talking about the overall NBA on this one, folks. So I was just thinking about how, like, in the 90s, we didn't have League Pass. So what you had of it, we had available to us was TNT, TBS, and NBC, and they would. Most of the cable games were on TNT and TBS, obviously, all of them. And if you didn't have cable, you couldn't watch them. So that is really what it was about. Until it was the late 90s where everyone started to being forced to have cable, you just were basically limited to NBC games, and they would do the triple headers during the playoffs and double headers on Sundays after the NFL. And it was the greatest. It was like watching the NFL. And that's one of the things I miss, was like looking forward to having a destination of having looking forward to the games, because it was always the Knicks. Always the Knicks were the first game on NBC. It was the Knicks versus the Cavs, you know, Patrick Ewing versus Brad Doherty. And then the next game would be, you know, probably the Bulls. And then the night game would be like one of the West Coast teams, usually the Phoenix Suns or the Lakers. Well,
that plays into this whole overarching conversation that can be had about, like, I think the NBA, I think it's losing young fans because young fans just watch highlights or TikToks, and you're getting so many short form media, you know, things. And I love when the NBA has on the weekends, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. I love that. I love just being able to watch, you know, for me, like let's say a 1 p.m. game, a 4 p.m. game, and an 8 o'clock game.
Right.
That's great. I love that. And one of my favorite things, for some reason, the NBA does this more towards the end of the regular season, is they do that, particularly on Sundays. You get like three games on Sunday on national TV. It's not every Sunday. And I wish it was, because then, you know, you have this time from February to honestly till football season starts, because baseball and hockey are, I think, both secondary or third behind basketball, where you can just eat up prime time. And you don't, like, I just think the NBA has done so many, or hasn't done enough in terms of pushing forward, sort of like what football does, where you can have this whole day where you can just sit back and watch football, and you only watch that once per week. If people don't want to watch basketball and they only want to watch it, you know, on a Sunday, they can get three good games in. So there's a lot to be said, I think, about just the future of the NBA. And I have so many ideas. Like, there's so many things with, you know, with the RSNs that are dying, like what is going to happen with that. And it's like, who's the face of the league now? That kind of, LeBron's still the face, but he's like 38 years old. It's maybe Adam Silver should take that that Disney job.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I if you've been listening to my podcast, I've talked about how ESPN needs to get, the NBA needs to get away from ESPN. And some of it is because they have a completely mediocre presentation.
TNT is the best.
TNT's the best. And
they're not, and I don't even take their criticism like that much, like that heavily. It's just so entertaining. And it's in good faith.
It's in good faith and it's entertaining. And as much as people bitch about Barkley and Shaq and Kenny on there, it's still, they got a thing. They're entertaining. They're good at what they do. And it's unlike ESPN, which has been trotting out this mediocre, and it's almost the visual presentation of ESPN games is really mediocre. It's not appealing to the eye. And it's very strange. They don't have a sense of drama. One of the things I always missed about NBC is like, oh my God, when that dun, 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 like, I'm like, you got chills up and down your spine. Like, oh my God, here we go. And that was like the coolest thing. And some of that's obviously nostalgia bias on my part, but on the flip side,
yeah, ESPN, I never witnessed that. It's always been ESPN.
And ESPN's never managed to do it. Never managed to capture the drama. Because
ABC does a better job than ESPN, I'd say. Like the finals are like okay. One of the only things I will say about ESPN in a pro ESPN sense is so when you're watching through cable, I feel like all the quality of the image is always bad. But if you're watching through the ESPN app, that is when sports look the best. If you're like, hey, if you have a Roku, you have like a 4K Roku stick or whatever, and you have a 4K TV, it looks really good on the ESPN app. That's all I'll say towards them. Cause like if I'm watching through the Spectrum, which is the cable provider here, the Spectrum app or ESPN app, so much higher quality. But yeah, in terms of like overall presentation, it's, they don't market their stars in a way that I feel like they should. Like they don't market Luka, they don't market Embiid that much. They don't market Giannis, Jokic. It's all just like Steph and LeBron or KD and LeBron, and there's so many new stars coming up. It's just it's just a waste.
And I want to get your comment on this. There's obviously the specter of LeBron. Here's the problem. LeBron, as good as he's been, and there's the debate about if he's the greatest player in the world or Jordan was. Here's the problem I have is that as much as LeBron is the face of the NBA and has been for the last 20 years, he has never been more popular than Michael Jordan was in the 90s. And some of that has to do with the lack of, with how captive things were back then. So you can't replicate the captivity of the Jordan era. It's just, you can't do it. It was a collision of the advent of cable and the expansion of the NBA into Europe and China and all that stuff. It was that nexus. It was the burgeoning point. You can't recapture that. But some of that is the fact that Jordan was just fucking popular. And one of the problems that the league has is they are clinging to LeBron in a way that is not befitting the way he has been the last 4 years, even during the championship year they had in the bubble year. They weren't that good that year. And I think
they were good in the bubble because they got 6 months off basketball and they were an old team.
Right.
And it was great. Like they deserve that championship. It's not a bad championship. I would have loved if the Nuggets won that one. But it's a question of I don't know if that team is going to win the championship if there's no pause for 6 months.
Right. Know? And that was
4 months or whatever.
4 months. Yeah. And then that was the problem is that they just had.
I missed the bubble though.
But it was insane.
A really good documentary on the bubble. I don't want to go back and watch Troy Daniels' bubble vlogs. When he was on the Nuggets, who was the one guy? There was JaVale and there was Troy Daniels. Who were vlogging in the bubble.
Who was it and got in trouble for the Rockets? Daniel House.
Daniel House, yeah.
And but Tyson Chandler.
Altitude made a documentary about the Nuggets bubble, but it's not anywhere. It was on Altitude twice, and it's just not.
We can go on and on about this because there is a. The way
you didn't even mention the freaking Nuggets.
This is fine because I am not quote part of Nuggets media, so I can talk about whatever the fuck I want and I can swear. I think that my biggest, and we've talked about this in our group chat. ESPN, my issue is that they are infiltrated by agents and the big agencies. They kind of have a, because, and it's all because of the first thing, you know, you got to be first. And that really leaves you at the whims of agents leaking you info, because play, because organizations are going to be less inclined to do so. So, or at least do it in a timely manner. So you lean on these agencies. Woj has had a partnership, or partnerships, quote unquote, but he's had a relationship with CAA forever. Arne Tellem, who before he moved to and was in part of the Pistons organization, those guys were like close. And Arne Tellem had was one of the big agents in the NBA. And you could tell that. And, you know, once these things filter out, you start seeing the influence they have over the way people talk and stuff like that. And it's really just kind of like when you have an organization as big as, and this is, I'll stop ranting in a second. When you have an organization as big as ESPN and they have to fill 24 hours, you get influence campaigns that are done in, for the purpose of maybe, I don't know, getting the MVP debate in a certain way, maybe muddying the waters. You know, you have to fill time. In the old days, you didn't have to fill time. You just did the games and ESPN just reported on the games. And that is probably where we're starting to get into some issues, particularly when it comes to Nuggets and specifically Nikola Jokic.
I have come to realize, and I've always, like, I used to have this website called The All Around, and I like wrote a whole article about like the problem with like analysts on these major companies, like ESPN or whatever. It's just, they can't watch every game. Like they watch so few games that they're talking about, the, where the audience is so big, but the information they have is not that big. So I think like ESPN, for example, is like the fast food of, you know, basketball or sports commentary. I think their NFL stuff is better than their basketball. And their NFL stuff, like Mina Kimes is an amazing reporter and analyst. Like they've got some good people for their ESPN, for the NFL rather. But with the NBA, it's like the discussion is such a like below average surface level thing where it's like, the, you know, there are amazing people on YouTube that do you know, breakdowns of like a Luka Doncic play. And it's never like the celebration of these athletes. It's always like the degradation of why one player is bad. It's never like a positive thing. And this past week has just gotten so negative to the point where, I mean, you get Jokic, a guy who like notoriously is not online. He hears about the stat padding comment. And then he was asked about, you know, the whole Kendrick Perkins thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, like, it, I think it's getting in, it's at least information is getting to him, which has never really have in the past. So it's tough. It's tough out there. Cause like the Nuggets are such a small organization. You know, we don't even have like a pretty competent training facility yet. We're like the most hated team in terms of these national people. And it's just wild. I really hope that Denver is able to go far in the playoffs, because there's so many narratives that just aren't true. If you know, you want to talk about certain things, like if you want to talk about the fact that when Jokic gets put in a pick and roll, he's not as high of a defender as when he's just looming in the paint. That's fine. That's fair criticism. Yeah. I think that's a conversation that can be had. But when you say something like he stat pads, you've just ran out of all other fuel. There's nothing else to talk about because you've exhausted all your other resources because you fed off negativity to the point where now it's just like you have to make up something negative. So right. It's frustrating. It's great when there are people like JJ Redick coming out and talking about it, but then, you know, it gets into a larger conversation about race. Nikola Jokic is a white player. JJ Redick is a white analyst, a white player. I'm white, supporting a white athlete. You know, there's always some sort of race plays into a lot of things, whether we think about it consciously or subconsciously. And it's a large conversation. And I don't really know where I'm going here, but there's just a lot of things in the past week that have been kind of wild.
You know, I my pat answer for that is that it is hard for me to implicitly remove the fact that I am privileged to be born white, and a lot of people don't acknowledge that privilege. And it really keeps
me. You've never deliberately experienced racism because of your skin color.
No.
And itself is a privilege that a lot of people don't have.
Only thing is I've experienced homophobia, but I don't equate that with systemic and years of racism. Like, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that goes, it is up to people who are probably more in tune and more have experience with that sort of thing to comment on it. The issue with the implication that there is racism going on in voting, and which is what Perkins was saying, is that it belies the fact that the league is not known for, since the 70s, not known for having, Caucasian people winning the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I don't even know why, because, but it is just not historically accurate, at least in the modern history. And I think what he was trying to say is the scoring aspect of it. It was a really clumsy thing to do. And I think he got caught out on it, and it made
it. It's facts 12 times in a row doesn't necessarily prove your point. Is that what you're saying?
He got caught out on, he got out on a limb because he either poorly researched something, or the people who he had to giving him information poorly researched something. And it just turned into something bad. And I my own thing is that it didn't need to go there because of Jokic. And because, first of all, the person who hasn't put himself in this conversation is Jokic. He's you could tell he's extremely uncomfortable with it. He had to comment, you pointed it out, after the game last night that we won't mention, he had to comment on it. And you can tell it's just making him super uncomfortable. And I don't know. And it's not something he ever wanted. Unlike some players throughout history who desperately want it, and that doesn't invalidate them, by the way, desperately wanted to win the MVP because they felt like that is a reward of their season and what they were doing for their team. I don't blame them at all. But Jokic doesn't seem to want it. And that has created this weird thing. And I will say one last thing, and I'll let you comment. I am kind of certain that Jokic's inability to get out in front of these things, and because he doesn't have social media, because he's largely unaware of this stuff, actually has backfired on him, because it's allowed it to just fester and fester and fester and fester. And I think that part, at least that very small part, is one thing that I wish Jokic could have been able to comment on before last night, after 3 weeks of just getting brutalized on this thing, about something that he never commented on or even wanted to be part of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to respect. Like, I think a lot of people don't respect him. If this conversation was about even Luka Doncic, I don't think it would have gotten this far. Why? Just because I think people like Luka Doncic. People like the way he plays more. People think that Luka Doncic is a more traditional basketball player. He has the ball in his hands a lot. He is a little bit, he's not a ton more athletic than Jokic, but he's a little bit more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that Jokic not having any sort of personality online, like, you know, if you tweeted Damian Lillard and you said, like, the only reason why you're like, let's say this is just swapped and he's in the MVP, and it's like, oh, the only reason that you're gonna do this is because you're black, like, that would not go on. Like, Dame would say something about that,
right?
Multiple other people. I don't necessarily mean to make that, you know, a race thing, but I'm just saying that someone who is more online, those, what people say, get to them. You can directly tag Damian Lillard in a post and he could possibly see it. So yeah, it's toxic. It's really bad. I think a lot of people who watch the Nuggets, who watch basketball, understand that Jokic is cool. Like, you know, the way that he plays basketball is a way that I think has pushed the sport forward. Mm-hmm. There are many people in history who have advanced the game of basketball a ton. I think Steph Curry is the last one who's really revolutionized the game. And I don't think Jokic is on that level in terms of pushing the game forward, but he definitely gives it a different lens to watch it through. You don't have to have these perimeter centric ball dominant players to win the game, like to win basketball anymore. You can have guys like Giannis, who are, you know, he has the ball in his hands a decent amount, but he's not like, he's not James Harden. You know, he doesn't shoot as much. Like, there are different basketball players who will play a different way. And I think that's always exciting. I have an Embiid jersey. I have a Jokic jersey. I just bought my girlfriend a Giannis shirt for her birthday. Like, I love all of those players because they all play in different ways and they're all exciting. And I just, I don't know. I don't feel like the NBA is capitalizing on those stars in a way that they should. Because it's all bad. It's all like Embiid is better than Jokic at this. Jokic is terrible at that, or Jokic is great at this. Embiid sucks at that. It's never just like what one guy is good at. And I don't feel like you get that in like the NFL. Like when Aaron Rodgers wins two straight MVPs, there's no conversation at all like this. And that's because he's won one championship. He's had so many playoff failures, but he won one. So I think Jokic just has to win one.
And that's true. Let me throw this out there too. I listened to the Poop Collective on yesterday.
I listened to part of it too. I couldn't get through that far. And, but I did listen,
and it was obnoxious because I will say this: Brian Windhorst has been the last couple weeks has been really trying to get attention to the Denver Nuggets. Trying.
It's kind of weird.
In good faith. Give the Nuggets some attention.
When he's the biggest pro Nuggets person on his podcast, something's weird.
And what has happened is what you heard in a podcast he did with Mark Spears, former Denver Nuggets beat writer, from like 2000 to
a guy who was very pro Melo and did not understand how anyone could possibly boo Carmelo Anthony after lying about a situation for a decade and forcing his way out.
Yes, that's
crazy.
We don't have to go there, but yes, and both Spears and Kirk Goldsberry were pushing back on the notion that the Nuggets were any sort of threat in the West. And it was a strange conversation because the barometer and line for the Denver Nuggets, and only the Denver Nuggets, is if you get the number one seed, you have to get to the finals and you have to win, which was a very bizarre, kind of extremely arbitrary kind of way to frame.
Phoenix get it last year?
And I was going to say, Phoenix didn't get it. And everyone expected them to do well this year. It's bizarre. And then what the worst and most offensive thing to me about it was Spears and Goldsberry, in the implication that the Nuggets would struggle against the Los Angeles effing Clippers, who they own.
That was, I think that's when I turned it off, because it's like, at that point, you're just there's data out there and you're choosing to specifically neglect it. The Nuggets broke that team in the bubble I have come to respect Paul George since then, but I mean that was a broken dude. And I know there's some mental, you know, he was going through some stuff, so I don't want to bet, like, you know, throw more things on that. But, you know, you got that coach fired. Marky Morris is still there. Bones Highland is there now, and he's not playing. And we beat them four times this year, and they have no possible way to guard Jokic. Like, even at least Philly, you know, with Tucker on Jokic, presented an interesting wrinkle to tell me that can be planned around for sure. In a 7-game series, you can plan around that. But in a 1-game series, yeah, that worked pretty well on Jokic. But the Clippers have nothing. They have nothing. I mean, they were playing freaking Nicholas Batum on him. Yes. So. And that was out of a back-to-back. I think Denver played the night before in Memphis, right?
Yeah. Yes, they had played the night before. And here's the problem. The notion is in the league that if you go small and you space out the Nuggets, like what happened with the Utah Jazz against the Clippers, that eventually the Nuggets can't counter it. That is based entirely on the fact that the Utah Jazz had Rudy Gobert, who is basically a minus on offense, and he didn't.
He's not worth anything. Five picks.
Yes. Oh, Tim. I and that part is what they forget is that, yes, they gave up something on offense, on defense, but Jokic provides an unstoppable element on offense against the Clippers. So much so that he fundamentally puts them into a existential crisis every time they play. They just can't, they don't have anything for Nikola Jokic. And it's like that people stop with like defensive highlights. It's like, he can't guard him. I know you watch him try to fly out to the corner. There's no way he can do it. But then they completely ignore the fact that the Clippers are sending eight guys, you know, like five guys and three refs at Nikola Jokic, and nothing is stopping him. And it's when I heard that part on that podcast, I was like, these people are not serious. They have not watched any Nuggets games, and they specifically haven't watched Nuggets Clippers games.
Denver, you know, in the past, I think there have been starting lineups where you wouldn't trust every one of those guys besides Jokic to hit a three. Aaron Gordon, I'd say I trust him more than I don't trust him. Every player on that starting lineup can make a three. If you double team Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets are too good offensively. I think the only better offense, like statistically this year in the NBA, is the Sacramento Kings, who have just played an obnoxious amount of minutes together. Like, no one has been hurt on the team. So, you know, you double team Jokic, what does that have? You have one of Aaron Gordon, I almost said Paul Millsap, bless his soul, Michael Porter Jr., vote KCP, and Jamal. Vote for Millsap. Was one of the greatest. Like, I showed that to that picture to Jess, and she was like, did he do that on purpose? And I was like, no. And then I showed him like the TikTok of Paul Millsap, like with his hotel robe on. I don't know if you saw that one, but yeah. Paul Millsap discovering TikTok was one of the greatest things in my life. But Denver's offense, yeah, you double team Nikola, you have so many other options. I think it's just you got, like, with so many of these national big companies, I mean, it's mostly ESPN. Like, with ESPN, I think whenever the Nuggets are brought up, I just gotta tune out, you know, because like you said, there may be other things going on. Some of these people don't watch them. There's some agency stuff. I listen to a lot of Ringer things, and I find the Ringers to be in pretty good faith with everything. Mm-hmm. There's not like, you know, it's, oh, Nikola Jokic might not be good at this one thing, but his offense, like specifically, I think I saw a clip of Rob Mahoney on Bill Simmons' podcast this week. And he was saying, you know, there are certain situations, mainly in like a pick and roll drop defense, where Nikola Jokic isn't going to be as good as Giannis, as good as Embiid on defense, but his offense is so good that it doesn't matter. You just have to have him be good or average. And I think that's where I am. Like, if the Nuggets, you know, the Warriors will always scare me because we haven't beat them in the playoffs in my life. So I'll always be nervous about that matchup. Phoenix, I'm a little bit more confident in, but then you have Kevin Durant, who supposedly is out for a month because the ball boy didn't wipe up the spillage under the basket because he sprained his ankle. The ankle was like, I don't know if you saw the screenshot of it, but it was a bad ankle. That was really bad. Phoenix, you know, I think that's a tough series, but it's not like Denver can't beat them. I know Aiden plays him well, but he's no Wendell Carter Jr. against him. That dude plays Jokic so well. Carter Jr.
Yeah.
I like Wendell. I think he's a great player, but like that matchup specifically is just so random. I don't know. I would love to hear Jokic talk about that someday.
All right. I know he likes him. He got in trouble for complimenting him. Remember?
Oh, that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So we have Phoenix, Golden State. You know, the Clippers don't, like, hypothetically, any team with Kawhi has some semblance of fear, but I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, who else have we? Dallas. Dallas can't guard me.
Mm-hmm. And they lost to the Pelicans last night, who didn't have Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, we haven't mentioned anything with Ja, but that team, I feel bad for Brandon Clark. I never want to see a guy get hurt.
Oh, that was
specifically an Achilles tear early in your career.
And you can always tell,
like, when I saw it. Yeah, when you see it, it's like, it's bad.
Like when Durant went down. It's just you just knew. Like it's like
I honestly think the team in the that if they were to get in the playoffs, that would provide Denver with the most hypothetical key here is hypothetical issue is just the Lakers, like because of Anthony Davis and LeBron. Those two guys are the two best players that the Nuggets would play in the playoffs, probably. Davis has the ability to play at such an insane level. And like I like them a little bit more than Dallas, hypothetically. Like LeBron's hurt. There's all these hypotheticals, but I mean, yeah, I think the West quote isn't wide open, or Ja Morant isn't as fine in the West as he thought he was. But I'm hoping for a Timberwolves round one matchup just because I think that team is completely broken and we could sweep them.
It could be. I mean, there's some teams at the bottom that are in the play-in. I don't think the Pelicans are going to make the play-in, but there's just, you know, I mean, they could, but it's like the Lakers. I see why people are like, well, LeBron. Problem is they have a team that has been playing together for 3 weeks at this point.
LeBron's hurt now, so LeBron's hurt. Not even that.
And actually, you know, they're playing better with just Davis, and still winning. And
I like Malik Beasley. I like Jared Vanderbilt, but I don't particularly like D'Angelo Russell. If you want to win games,
I don't like. And Rui Hachimura is,
he's okay.
He's an okay player. They have a marginally better roster than they did before, and you know, the big thing is they don't have Russ. But the Clippers have won two in a row. They beat the Raptors last night, which caused Fred VanVleet to.
He doesn't say much. Sorry, Raptors fans.
Fred VanVleet had an existential crisis in the presser, which he's going to get fined heavily for. And coming back to the Nuggets, and here's my thing about them. And I'm coming back to what Spears said on the Hoop Collective. It is yes, they have to win. And everyone as Nuggets fans knows they have to win. But it is a bizarre standard to say, in order for them to be validated, they have to do a certain thing because they're not holding any of the other teams within this, including Phoenix, who made a big trade.
It's a weird...
You're not holding them to that standard.
I just think it's the MVP thing. I think, like, you know, Giannis did get some of this in 2020. What freaking year? He won in 2021 when he had won two straight. And people said the same thing. Like, it's like, you have to win a championship before we give you a third MVP, which is, like, weird rules to just make up on the fly then and it is now. But... yeah, ultimately, like if the Nuggets lose in the second round of the playoffs this year, it's going to be wildly disappointing. And I think I might delete my Twitter account. It's weird to have a team that makes you so happy most nights, but also you know, with that happiness becomes expectations. Like there's sort of a house money when you're playing in the bubble, you know, you still got a young team. You got Paul Millsap, who's a veteran, but you still got a young team. You know, there's always that promise. And then, you know, that promise can fade quickly when a player tears his ACL and then you get 2 years of purgatory. Or, you know, you're the Thunder in 2011 and you were like, wow, we're set up for a decade. And then your third best player leaves and then you just never get back. So like you never know if you'll get this opportunity again. Like, you know, health has been a big thing with this team. Like Michael Porter Jr. has been amazing this season. I think just said earlier when people talk about the Nuggets on a national level, I tune out, but Bill Simmons was like, you know, I don't know if I trust him to make a big shot. When has he missed a big shot? When has Michael Porter Jr. not hit a big shot in his career? That's the one thing that you want him to do. And he does it.
He's like, had two very big ones that I can
yes.
Specifically bring out
the top. That dude has been the most impressive Nugget to me all season.
Yeah.
Like the things that he has dealt with his brother, the things he's dealt with injury. We just saw a player on Denver have a very large ego and have issues with the coaches and demand a trade. Mm-hmm. If you told me which player would that be, I would have bet the minus money on Michael Porter Jr. But it's none of that. He's quiet. You don't hear from him. He does his job. He's, you know, I think he and Jamal have gotten really close, and he's gotten way better on defense. So I'm just so impressed with him. The yeah mics have been flowing this season.
We need to make a drink called the yeah mic. I wonder what that would be.
Have I shown you my Nuggets drinking game?
Uh-uh.
Do you want me to read? Can I read some of these out loud?
Go ahead.
So I spent a while during the season making a Nuggets drinking game. I got to find it here. Okay. So this is the drinking game. This is the gulp/shot tier. So these are things that are less frequent, but when they happen, like, you got to either take a shot or like a big sip of your drink. So that's DeAndre Jordan makes 2 free throws in a row. Michael Malone rage timeout. Jokic has new scratch marks on his arm. Jamal or MPJ hit a heat check 3. We get a Munder, Sombor shuffle. If a player, and then another thing, if a player who averages less than 12 points a game puts up 25 points against the Nuggets, that is a shot. And then we have the standard tier, which is a few more things. This is just a sip. Aaron Gordon dunk. Anytime Chris Marlowe makes a reference to a Colorado location when a player makes a 3. Jokic no look assists. Christian Brown block. DeAndre Jordan does anything positive. Scott Hastings spews Nuggets propaganda. End of quote or buzzer beater. MPJ transition 3, Jokic triple double, a power forward misses 1 free throw, and then a certain commercial, Nissan, the Butler did it commercial comes on. So that is the Nuggets drinking game. If anyone wanted to partake,
you got to turn this into a thing. Is what you got to do.
Oh, I have a Nuggets chat on Twitter, and we do it.
You should do that. Well, I've kept you long enough. So before I let you go, let's talk about let you talk about your podcast, where people can find you, do all that.
Yeah, so I have a movie podcast on Mile High Life called Mile High Cinema. It's a weekly film podcast where I talk about movies. This past one, what I mentioned earlier, was Creed 3 and a Rocky franchise draft. This upcoming weekend on Sunday are the Oscars. So next week's episode will be like a recap about that, talking about all those things. Yeah, it's been good. I never get to talk about sports that much anymore, to the point where, like, if I get to talk about basketball, I can lay everything out that I've been thinking about. So I appreciate you bringing me on to do that. Cause I listen to hours of podcasts a day about basketball. I'm reading this Blood in the Garden book. I played basketball my whole life. I just love the sport. So it's always a great time talking basketball.
Well, Trey, I have the very distinct pleasure of having as my friend, and we've been friends for a long time. So it's even though he is a fetus compared to me,
I'm almost 25, man.
That's right. Very sad here too.
Yeah.
God, it's amazing. But Trey's the best. Follow him on Twitter. Check out Mile High Cinema. You can find that at 5280 Cinema on Twitter. And they got a new episode up that he mentioned earlier, and on Rocky and the new Creed movie, which I am going to listen to once we stop recording.
Pretty heavy spoilers for Creed 3. I need to go back and put in the description like a time code just for the draft. I think I'll do that right after this, like, in case you wanted to just skip to that.
Okay, we'll be on the lookout for that. So anyway, thank you all for joining me on the latest Morkcast. I'll be back soon with another episode. Ta-ta.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.